Blog Talk Radio.
It's time for Voice of Indie. Your hosts today are Beam Weeks, author, producer, and marketing monster for independent multimedia publisher Fresh Ink Group, and Stephen Gies, author, producer, composer, and publisher for Fresh Ink Group.
Happy Hump Day, everybody. Another Wednesday evening, and this is the Voice of Indie podcast, your host, Beam Weeks. And with me, this is episode number 158, by the way, getting closer to 200. We'll have a big soiree once that 200th episode comes about. Stephen Gies, how you doing tonight, Stephen?
I'm doing all right. It's rainy down here in Alabama, but it's a nice warm summer day, and the frogs are out there sitting on the gutters waiting for the bugs to come out. I don't think they're coming out tonight with the rain, but we'll see. Doing all right up there?
Doing all right. We started the week actually kind of on the cool side. I think Sunday we didn't get out of the 60s, and then Monday it was the highest we got was 70, but we're back to normal. We're right about around 80. It's been 80 pretty much all day today, so no complaints there. Not too hot, not too cold.
Yeah, and you know, this week I managed to see the movie Oppenheimer too, and I want to throw that out there for people with a recommendation, because I don't often recommend them unless we're doing a movie show. But Oppenheimer, you writers out there, you want to see some stunningly beautiful dialogue? Oppenheimer, man, that's a really great film. Everything about it is great, but it's some of the best writing in a movie I have seen in years. So check that out.
I'm looking forward to checking it out. I have to check that out.
Yeah, no word on the Haunted Mansion yet. So, anyway, we need to start today's podcast on a bit of a somber note. We've lost one of our writers, Caleb Pirtle III, who was a guest on this show, has just passed away this past week. His wife, Linda Pirtle, is also a very well-known writer. They're down there in Texas, and that was sad news to hear. It's Caleb Pirtle III is the way he appears on his book.
Yeah.
And just because we lose the writer doesn't mean we lose their work. So we want to keep spreading the word and keep his books alive out there for as long as we can. You know, everybody check it out. Caleb Pirtle.
Yeah, we had his wife Linda on this show a couple of months after Caleb was on. And just wonderful people, wonderful people. And Caleb was an amazing writer, quite prolific. And as Stephen said, you know, he's gone, but his work still remains. This is how writers become immortal, so to speak. Their work is still here. So go out and find some of his books if you're not familiar with it, and, you know, read them and keep his work alive, because the guy was quite the writer. So, yeah, condolences to Linda and their family as well.
Yeah. So why don't you tell us what's going on with Verwaine over on Twitter?
Well, let's go over to Twitter and see. First off, we got Joe Conjo says, "Hello, Voice of Indie Beam Weeks, Stephen Gies. Looking forward to tonight's guest, Joy York." All right. Welcome to the audience, Mr. Joe Conjo.
Yeah.
Verwaine. Where is the Verwaine?
He's a couple down.
I see. Yeah, okay. He says, "I hate my mother, a true story of childhood abuse that took me 56 years to forgive. The path to inner peace is forgiveness. The complete story is on Vela. The first three episodes are free." Who doesn't like free? All right. If you want the link to Verwaine's Kindle Vela, get on Twitter or X and type in the search box, hashtag Fresh Ink Group, and click on the latest and scroll down till you find Verwaine Greenhoe, and the link is right there. All you have to do is click on it. It'll take you right up, or go to Amazon and type in "I Hate My Mother, Kindle Vela," and it'll pop up. And Verwaine's a wonderful writer as well, quite prolific. So get over there and check it out. He's got interesting stories to tell. And if you ever listen to this show, knows that he's a friend of the show, and he's got a lot of interesting things to say.
So congratulations to one of our more prolific authors, Robert G. Willis Croft. He writes the Mac McDowell submarine Cold War thrillers, and he writes the science fiction Oort Chronicles, and he writes other science fiction, some nonfiction, things like that as well. His Oort Chronicles series, the second book, The Oort Federation, managed to get some attention from the Colorado Authors League annual awards. And, gee, did he get an honorable mention? Did he get third place? No, he won first place for the Oort Federation. Colorado Authors League, congratulations, Robert G. Willis Croft. Check out today's newsletter, and you can get more details on that.
Yeah, congratulations, Robert. And congratulations to B.A. Johnson, who took home a Purple Dragonfly Award for Sassy Discovers the AME Church. And that's a children's book that teaches them about the history of the AME Church, and it's got pictures in it, and it's you know, for, I guess, preteens and early teens. And grab a copy, and it's an award winner now. Congratulations, B.A. Johnson.
Yeah. She's got two books out in that series now, and we're working on a third book that's not in that series, Pandemonium and Puzzle Town. So that ought to be pretty cool. So speaking of Robert G. Willis Croft, we recently, about a week ago, republished his Slingshot, which when he published that years ago, it was the first of the Star Child trilogy. Well, now we're turning this into the Star Child saga, and including the four novellas from the Daedalus series that we published originally as book two in that. So we're putting out the Star Child Saga as a four-book series, all updated with full-color interiors, which is definitely very cool. And this one, Slingshot, is out now. We're working on the next three. We're hoping to have the Daedalus one out in the next week or so, and then every week or two after that, you know, as we get a little bit closer to the gift-giving season. Keep that in mind, the Star Child Saga by Robert G. Willis Croft.
I can hear the commercial now, from trilogy to saga. Dun, dun, dun. All right. Hey, everybody, if you want to participate in tonight's show, if you got a question or comment for tonight's guest, there are a couple ways you can do that, and here's how you can do that.
Call 516-453-9902 right now with your questions or comments for tonight's guest, or post a note on Twitter with hashtag Fresh Ink Group in the body of the tweet, and we'll read it on air. That's 516-453-9902 or hashtag Fresh Ink Group on Twitter.
Now, before you jump into this next one, Stephen, Joe Conjol over on Twitter, he said, thank you for mentioning Caleb. Next week, Meet the Author podcast. On the Meet the Author podcast, they are having a memorial show for him. Please, everyone, tune in. Now, the Meet the Author podcast that's comes out right before this show, so it's Ronnie
Jones.
Roll
the commercial.
And,
go ahead and roll the
commercial. Right.
That'll tell.
We've got the commercial for that show. And let me find it right there. All right, this is Meet the Author.
Hi, I'm Rob.
And I'm Joan. We would like you to join us on Meet the Author podcast live every Wednesday night at 7 p.m. Eastern Time in the U.S.
Yeah, Meet the Author podcast is a live video broadcast produced in association with WLFE-D Radio, airing on Facebook, LinkedIn, and YouTube. Shortly after each episode ends, it's released on a dozen major podcast platforms.
We have casual conversations with authors of many genres. You will often hear humorous stories from their lives or sometimes some very poignant stories. Some of these people have overcome great obstacles to become authors. However, it's always a fun time.
It always is. So come join the fun, make comments, ask questions. We hope to see you at Meet the Author podcast live every Wednesday night at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. Find all the program links at indiebooksource.com. Until then.
That's all, folks.
All right. Yeah, that comes on the hour before this one, and I listened to and watched a little bit of it tonight, and they had an interesting guest on, one of these true crime kind of guys. Really cool subject.
Yeah, definitely. We've also got more books that have come out. I mentioned Slingshot earlier. That's actually for sale now. You can just order your copy and get it right away. Usually we put books in pre-sale for about a month. We've got the Dai Yang, the first book of the Dayang Trilogy by Dr. M.C. Howard, and it is out there in pre-sale now. You got about two or three more weeks to get your copy ordered in advance, and then it'll get delivered on the actual release date. We like doing that because it gives us time to solve problems with retailers, like books not displaying correctly and things like that, and it helps us run up some pre-sales so that on the actual day of the release, they get a whole bunch of sales all at once, which helps drive up their ranking. So if you want to support an author and you see a book in pre-sale, don't just think, well, I'll get it when it's actually out. Go ahead and place that order now because that'll help that author with the rankings as well. So
yeah.
Dayang by M.C. Howard. Beam is editing her second book in that trilogy, The Degree, right now.
Yeah. So, All right. Also, coming soon is I Won't Be a Scapegoat by David Carroll. And this follows his Hello Chattanooga and Volunteer Bama Dog. And David Carroll is going to be a guest on this podcast coming up here in the coming weeks. And he's always a fun conversation. He's the NBC anchor for down there in Chattanooga. So he's on TV down there. He's known. He's a popular guy, and he's got a lot of really cool ideas for books. And I Won't Be Your Scapegoat. As Stephen and I have gone through this, we're laughing, cracking up, because it's that funny. Some of the stuff that's blunders from on the social media pages, a misspelled word or silly looking picture, and it's a lot of fun. It'll have you laughing.
Yeah. All right. So another book that's coming out in the next couple of weeks. In fact, we're really hustling on this one because we're trying to beat football season. It's by Dave Hooker of Off the Hook Sports in Tennessee, and it's called Celebrate 98, and it's about the 1998 Tennessee Vols College Football Championship team. And it's all the behind-the-scenes stories, the interviews, clips, photos. It's just a real cool little rundown for college football fans, for football fans, for sports fans, but definitely for Tennessee Vols fans. So that's Celebrate 98 by Off the Hook Sports writer Dave Hooker, coming out in the next couple of weeks.
All right. And another one coming out is a novel, a military thriller called Village Boss. And the author I know his real name and his pen name is Ronanin. What is that?
Was it Duval?
Duval. Yeah. Ronanin Duval. That's,
yeah.
Well, is it Ronan? Because it's spelled as Ronanin.
I don't know. We may need to have a discussion with him.
Yeah. But anyway, I'm currently editing this book. I'm hopefully going to have it finished within the next week or so. It's definitely a thriller. This is one of these cool books. I've enjoyed it so far. And that's going to be, hopefully within the next couple of weeks, we'll be talking pre-orders. So Village Boss, keep that in mind.
Village Boss we're not quite sure what the name is going to wind up eventually being.
Ronan Duval.
Yeah. We've got another one we're working on. We'd hoped to have it out by last week, but this one's been turning into a little bit of a job. Mermaid Cove by Maureen Howard. Now, down there on the Texas Gulf Coast, they have a thing every year called the Yachty Gras, Y-A-C-H-T-Y, where they basically have a Mardi Gras parade, but they do it with their yachts. And they decorate their yachts and have a big party and a big shindig, and it's just a big event every year. And part of that is Maureen has been painting multimedia painting, not just paint, but other kinds of media in there too, mermaid posters, which then are used for the annual poster about the Yachty Gras. So for the 25th anniversary of the Yachty Gras this year, we're putting out a book that's a collection of 36 of those mermaid posters. This will be a coffee table book in full color with thick paper and nice printing and stuff like that. So Mermaid Cove, you can watch for that too sometime in the next week or two. We got a couple of busy weeks ahead, don't we, Bean?
Yes, we do. And we've also got another audiobook in the works, Young Knights by Cheryl Carpinello. And that's kind of going at her pace because I get the files done and then I send them to her and she listens to them. She's got a beta listener. So this beta listener, you know, it helps point out some of the things that she might want to address. And then a lot of times I got to send the stuff back to the voiceover artist, and he rereads them and so on and so forth. But I believe we're through six chapters on that. She's got four of the six, and she'll get two more here coming up. And as soon as she lets me know, thumbs up or thumbs down. And if it's thumbs down, we got to go back in there and move some stuff around or something. But hopefully this will be done here before too long, before Christmas.
You know? Yeah. Now who's your narrator on that one?
That's Ethan Drew. Ethan Drew is a young man who is an actor in Hollywood, an actual Hollywood actor. And he's got a new movie coming out called Camp Hideaway. And this one of his co-stars in there is the great legendary Christopher Lloyd, Doc Brown from Back to the Future. He was also Reverend Jim Ignatowski on Taxi. And he was also one of the guys in One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
Just a talented guy, and we'd love to get him on this show. That would be fun.
No,
who knows?
You've worked with Ethan before, too, right? What's that one?
Yeah, Ethan is the voiceover artist in our young author, Ellie Collins, her Mad Max and Sweet Sarah. That's the third book in her Greek mythology. And speaking of Ellie Collins, Stephen, you got some updates on what's going on with her. What's she doing?
Yeah, we're going to put together an article for next week's newsletter, but I'll tease you a little bit. She wrote three novels, one at 11, one at 12, one at 13. We published all three, and we produced audiobooks of all three as well. And they're out there performing well. But then her interest shifted a little bit, and then they shifted again, and then they shifted again. She was being a teenager. And now she is seriously into archery and has taken training and been entering competitions and has been winning statewide competitions and now is doing national stuff. And they just came out with the national rankings for whatever the Archery Association is. I forget the name. And she is ranked number 7 in the country.
Mm-hmm.
And she's about 17 years old. She's a high school senior, starting high school, 12th grade this year.
Yeah.
So congratulations, Ellie. You know, if you're going to find some passions, even if you want to find some new ones, get out there and do them well.
Yeah, as Stephen said, we're going to put some stuff in the newsletter. And if you're not subscribed to that newsletter, why aren't you? Here's how you can do that.
Stay on top of these podcasts and all things Fresh Inquiry with our weekly digital newsletter. New releases, videos, stories, excerpts, interviews, and more. Sign up now on the homepage of freshinkgroup.com and be the one who knows what's what.
More books. This is Fresh Ink Group. That's what we be about. And Paradise My Prison by George Dismukes. We did our first Vela experiment on that, and we think it went very well. George did perform very well and even earned some bonuses from Amazon Kindle for the performance and amassed a whole bunch of cool thumbs up. So we're kind of liking this Vela thing. Right now, the Vela is still up, even though we have published the book and it is in pre-sale. So you can buy your own print copies, hardcover, dust jacketed, soft cover, or any of the digital copies and stuff and get those delivered to you next couple of weeks. But in the meantime, you could also still go over and check it out on Vela. And that's you go to Amazon, go to look up the book, and click on the Kindle Vela for there. It's a square one instead of a book-shaped cover. And they'll give you free chapters, three chapters for free, and if it's your first time at Vela, they'll give you a bunch of credits so that you can read most of the rest of the book for free as well. So that's Paradise My Prison by George Dismukes.
All right. Also, we have, this is in pre-order, isn't it? Volume 3?
Yeah, no. It's out now.
It's out. Okay. The Chair, Volume 3 by Robert McKenzie is out and available. Robert's really enjoying some nice sales on this one and some a lot of good back and forth conversation on Twitter. He tagged me for his Twitter thread over there. And boy, these guys, 60, 70 people, it seems like, all over there talking about that and other things as well. But it's always a good time. The Chair, Volume 3 by Robert McKenzie, available now. And coming soon will be Volume 4. We're working on that right now. So get out there and grab a copy.
So we published another book this week. This is a little unusual for us in that it's only available on Amazon as a Kindle edition, and it's called The Gift, Harbor Point Series Book 2 by Gwen M. Plano. And what's the story behind that, Beam?
That is the eight of the members of Story Empire. It's all the ladies, the Story Empire ladies. They got together and they have a story that's based around Harbor Point. I'm not sure all of that stuff, but and each of them are telling a story based in that area, and they're in different time periods. Some of them are in different time periods, and it's all tied together. And what I understand is there's some little Easter eggs in each of the stories that harken to the other stories as well. But they're all in pre-order right now at Amazon, the Harbor Point series, and there are eight books. I went over there and pre-ordered all eight of them, so I've got them coming, and they're all going to be not released at the same time, but they're staggered. So I think Gwen's is the 13th of October. Is it October 18th? Just go over there and look for The Gift in the Harbor Point series, and they'll tell you when that's going to be out. But yeah, this was a grand undertaking, and these are professional writers. They pulled it off. They pulled it all together, and they got it all done. And it's an exciting time. So we're going to be really pushing this for these wonderful friends of ours.
Now, if you find The Gift by looking up Gwen M. Plano, while you're there, notice that we published her Redemption, her latest thriller, and she's got a three-book thriller series that we published the second and third one of. The first one she wrote with John W. Howell. So Gwen's got some great books over there. She's also got a memoir, Letting Go Into Perfect Love, about the surviving an abusive situation. So check out Gwen M. Plano's books. So what's going on in our young adult literature?
Young Adult, Daddy Yo-Yo, and the legendary Marble Tournament by Janice Toney. That is out. This is an illustrated chapter book for young adults. It's a book on bullying, and bullying's not a cool thing. And it's Daddy Yo-Yo. He's an elderly man, and he's lived for a long time. He's the grandfather, and his son, Big Daddy, is telling the story of Daddy Yo-Yo and the wisdom that he shared with him and why bullying is not a cool thing. And it's out, so grab your copy for those young ones in your life.
Yeah, she's doing very well with that, too. She's been staging events around North Alabama and getting just blockbuster turnouts and people buying two and three copies of the book. She keeps calling me in a panic saying, I need books, you know. So, hey, that's a tough problem to have, huh?
Yeah.
So we've got another book that we just released. It's been out for a couple of weeks now in full release, As We Remember by Dr. Najma Thomas. And that's a look at the Beaufort, South Carolina Woman's Relief Corps. It's a nonfiction historical look with a lot of cool historical photos and the story behind the first all-black corps there in North Carolina.
Yeah. We've also got the Fig Short Story Showcase. That's one of them's been out for a while. We're taking submissions for number two. It's fiction. And number three, personal experience essays and mini memoir. Now, these are open to anybody. Just send your submission to contact@freshinkgroup.com, and you could end up in one of these anthologies. So, I've got a few in the, a couple of them, I believe, in the first one. And I've submitted three of them, I think, for this new one. So, I'm looking forward to seeing who else is in there and the kind of work that other people are doing. So, contest@freshinkgroup.com and submit your submission.
Now, if any of you aren't sure what a short story is, Beam and I each have a book of short stories out there. So you could always go buy those books and check those out, see what that's all about. But a lot of people do ask us, what do you mean by personal experience essays? And I have a book of those out as well called Been There, Noted That, which I'm going to encourage people to go check out. That's where
I
tell a true story.
It's an excellent book. I read it, and I highly recommend it. And not just because Stephen's a good friend, but because he's also an excellent writer. He's a talented, skilled storyteller. Even the true stuff, he's skillful.
Well, gosh. But the whole point here is that you tell a story about something true that happened. It can be poignant. It can be sad. It can be a tribute to another person. It can be something, you know, some big important event in your life, or it can be some little minor thing. But the whole point of it is when you tell the story, try to find some kind of meaning in it. What did you learn from it? What can we all learn from this? And you know, try to give it a little bit of poignancy. It doesn't take much to keep it interesting, and these are especially fun if you do some humor and stuff in them. So we're looking for those. Some people call them mini memoirs. If you've been writing any of those or feel like trying your hand at it, send them in to us.
All right.
Now, we're using up our time here, so let's fly through this top 25 list and then start working our way toward today's guest. These are the top 25 best-selling print books from Fresh Ink Group. I'm not looking at all the digital numbers. We've got 212 different formats out there, and those numbers are crazy. So we're just going to look at hardcover and softcover right now. Number 25th, How to Start and Run Your Own Food Truck Business in Florida by A.K. Wingler. That's one of three food truck books that she has out there. She's also got Tennessee and Georgia. So How to Start and Run Your Own Food Truck Business. At 24, we've got The Chair, Volume 2. Faith, Hope, and Love by Robert McKenzie. That's the second in the series. Three is the one that's out right now currently. Above that, Hello Chattanooga, Famous People Who Have Visited the Tennessee Valley by newscaster David Carroll, who's going to be our guest here in a couple of weeks and is going to be putting out the book, I Won't Be Your Scapegoat. Time Past, Time Present, Essay Stories and Reminiscences of What I Learned the First Time Around by Mark Allen North. Now, that's an example of personal experience essays or many memoirs. He's got a whole collection of them in there, and they're very cool. Next up, When Angels Fly. That's by S. Jackson. There's a companion book with that called Sammy Hero at Age 5 that she published on as M. Schmidt, but it's the same woman. And both of them are, you know, true stories about losing her 5-year-old son to pediatric brain cancer and everything that they went through. So they're sad, but they can be uplifting, and they're very poignant and real. Above that, The Chair, Volume 1. So we've got 1 and 2 already on the list. We've got to see if 3 makes the list here. Above that, Robert G. Willis-Croft's Icicle, A Tensor Matrix, The First Ork Chronicle. That's the one that precedes the Ork Federation, which just won the Colorado Authors League First Place Prize. So Icicle, A Tensor Matrix by Robert G. Willis-Croft. And then right above that, another Willis-Croft, Slingshot, Building the Largest Machine in Human History. That's the first of the Star Child saga. And then 2, 3, and 4 will be out coming soon. Next, There Must Be Something in the Water, Anthology of the Fourth Generation Descendants of Green Pond After the Emancipation. This is by Dr. Abigail Miriam Hamilton Hugini, who was, until her husband retired at the end of last year, the first lady of Alabama A&M University. Her husband was president of the university there. But this book looks at young black folks who grew up in the Green Pond area of South Carolina, which is very, very poor, poverty area, and went on to make something really important of themselves. And it's a book of profiles with color pictures and telling the stories of all of these people who went on to do some really cool things, some great stuff. So that's a great uplifting book, and it's performing very well and selling around the world, which is very cool too. Now, what's above that, Beam? The Ork Federation, To the Stars, the second Ork Chronicle,
right.
Colorado Authors League first place prize winner. So looks like winning a prize might get a little bit of a boost for the sales here. Now, our next two are by Larry Landgraf. They're two of the four books in his Into Post-Apocalyptic Dystopian Novel series. These two are Into Winter and Into Spring. I'll give you a guess. The others are called, you know, named after the other seasons. But right now, two of them are in this list, and it's looking like, oh, there it is. Into Summer is three slots above that. So these books have been out for, 4 or 5 years, something like that. So they're getting some boost lately. Now, above those, American Agony, The Opioid War Against Patients in Pain by Dr. Helen Burrell. That's a look at the politics going on right now with the opioid war on drugs. How to Teach Driving Behind the Wheel, Lesson by Lesson, The Instructor's Edition by Kenneth Lindquist. He also has a Parent's Edition. The Instructor's Edition is for people who want to get certified in whatever the standards are in your state or your area to become an instructor. But the Parent's Edition is for people who have young people and they care about them being good drivers. So that's an important book, and we're glad to have that in our catalog. Now, we are coming down to the top 10 or so here. We've got The High Road, Memories from a Long Trip, the paperback edition by Mark Herndon. Who's Mark?
Mark played drums for 28 years for the country superstar band Alabama. Toured the world with them.
Yep, and he tells all about it.
Tells a great story. Yeah,
it's warts and all, you know, and he does it without trashing people. He takes the high road, which is the name of the book. So that's pretty cool, and that's a paperback edition. Now above that, Janice D. Toney, Daddy Yo-Yo and the Legendary Marble Tournament, hardcover. That's a laminate hardcover children's book. So hardcovers are doing pretty well here this week. Now, we mentioned The Chair Volume 3 is the newest one from Robert McKenzie. It's on the list here in the top 10, and it's the hardcover edition of a novel. 618 pages? 614, something like that?
Yeah.
600 and something page hardcover dust jacketed novel, and it's one of our best sellers right now. So who thinks novels don't sell in hardcover? I used to. I don't anymore. Now, you've heard of that scoundrel out in Colorado who won an awards, Robert G. Willis Croft. Operation Ivy Bells, a Mac McDowell mission, is next on our list. That's the first of the four Mac McDowell Cold War thriller submarine books. I always think of that Geico commercial where the guy says, who reads books about submarines? My dad, you know. But apparently it's apparently more than that guy's dad, because these books are doing very well. They're very popular. They get great reviews. And he's working on a fifth one. So congratulations, Robert. Now, the hardcover edition of The Calling Dream by Carlisle Toms. That is another long novel. That's about 600 and something pages, I believe. And it's a dust jacketed hardcover. And because it's so thick, it has to be a little bit expensive, but yet the hardcover is selling well. Now, that gets us down to our top five. Top five, The High Road, Memories from a Long Trip by Mark Herndon, and it's the hardcover edition that is outselling the softcover edition. So people want a nice copy that they can keep on the shelves. Number four, Sassy Discovers the AME Church by B.A. Johnson. That's the first of her two Sassy books. Number three, Shipwrecked and Rescued, The City of Bangor by historian and researcher Larry Jorgensen. He used to be a journalist. Now he writes books, and this one's the story about the 240 Chryslers in the 1920s that were being shipped to Canada and never got there. So what happened? And did they ever get the cars back? Boy, you're going to have to check that out. So top two books. Number two, Submariner, 30 Years of Hijinks and Keeping the Fleet Afloat, the paperback edition by retired Naval Lieutenant Commander Jerry Pate. Jerry likes to be number one. Number two is pretty good this week, Jerry, especially as long as this book's been out. So Submariner, check it out. That's 60 chapters of memoir, true stories about life on and under the sea and dealing with all kinds of cool stuff. So especially if you're into submarines, Navy stories, things like that. Jerry tells them all, warts and all, and he's getting great reviews on it. So the book's doing very well. So that gets us to our number one book, Bean. It's a novel. Lately, it's been nonfiction in our top couple of slots, but this week, it's the same as last week, The Calling Dream by Carlisle Toms. And we're going to play the commercial for that book tonight, so I won't talk any more about it for now, but congratulations to our top 25 sellers.
Yeah, congratulations. Listeners, we do have an archive, so if you miss an episode, you can go find these episodes in the archive. And you can go find Caleb Pertl's episode if you missed that one and you want to listen to that. I'm thinking that's episode 104. I could be wrong, but I'm thinking it's episode 104. I'd have to go and double-check that. But just go to any one of these archive spots and scroll through them, and you'll find Caleb's episode and Linda's episode as well. Linda Pirtle, his wife, she was on a couple months after him. But here's how you find our archives.
Find your favorite show in the Voice of Indy archives on YouTube at Fresh Ink Group, StephenGees.com, BeamWeeks.com, FreshInkGroup.com, and on Spotify. And now, you can listen on iHeartRadio, Google Podcasts, and TuneIn. Just search The Voice of Indy, all one word.
All right.
All right, so why don't we roll the Diane, and then we'll introduce this week's guest.
All righty.
In the days leading up to her departure on the yacht, the Diane, Catherine Howell had a sixth sense revelation that the U.S. government would attempt to take her out before she could return to the United States. Thus begins a web of intrigue involving the CIA, the military, the alleged stillborn birth of her infant son, and the loss of her husband in Vietnam. But is he truly dead? Catherine's sixth sense tells her the man is still alive, and they very nearly cross paths. Catherine's story should be told with caution, as one never knows which government agency is listening to your phone calls, reading your mail, or following you wherever you go. How did Catherine end up living on a yacht with a CIA agent? Will she ever discover the truth? Grab your copy of The Diane, Book 1 of the Diane Trilogy by M.C. Howell in jacketed hardcover, softcover, and all ebook formats worldwide. The Diane by M.C. Howell.
All right, so our guest this week is Joy York. Joy York grew up in Alabama but has spent much of her adult life in the Midwest, currently living with her husband Terry in Indiana with their golden doodle Bailey. Inspired by family legacy of oral storytelling, she began creating stories and adventures for her son when he was growing up. With encouragement from family and friends, she began to write them down. Her first book, The Bloody Shoe Affair, a daring and thrilling adventure with the jailer's daughter, a YA mystery set in the rural South in 1968, was published in 2015. The sequel, also a standalone, The Jailer's Daughter, is currently being edited. Genuine Deceit, a suspense novel, her second novel, was published on Amazon in May 2021. Protective Instinct, a mystery suspense from World Castle Publishing, is coming soon. For more information, we'll ask Joy how you find her and get a hold of her at the end of the show. So, welcome to the show, Joy.
Welcome.
Hi. Thank you. Thank you for having me.
So how about we start off with where are you from, which we know with Alabama. What part of Alabama, and where have you lived, and where are you living now?
Well, I was born in Gadsden, but I grew up mostly in Tuscaloosa with a couple of years kind of in between. Then we were in Colorado, but came back to Alabama. And that's where I went to Auburn, and so I was a War Eagle gal.
War Eagle.
And then when I got my first job, which I ended up in retail management, and the company I was with, I worked in Birmingham for a while and was transferred to Florida and back to Birmingham and then to Georgia. And when I was in Georgia, I was offered a position in Indiana with Target. And that's where I met my husband, Terry. And he was also with Target. I think we were, if I'm not mistaken, the first married store managers in Target many, many, many years ago. And we were transferred actually together. I guess it was a cheaper two for one. And I think the third state we were in was Ohio. And we lived in Hudson, which is near Cleveland and Akron. And we were there for 18 years. And so we were with them for about 18 years. And I took a break to spend time with my son and to write and to get involved in the community, because I was very involved in all of the district coordinating of community activities. So I ended up running for the Board of Education and served 4 years. And wrote for years and eventually retired early. And now we're in Indiana.
And Terry is retired too?
Yes. We both took early retirement. And so I have been writing full time for the past 8 years.
Wow. Nice luxury. So reading and writing, is this something that you started at a very young age, you know, or is that something that you got more interested in later on when you started thinking about stories for your son? What's your evolution to being a writer?
Well, I was really fascinated with storytelling, oral, but the more that I was telling my son, it kind of evolved to us writing some like short stories together, and you know, he kind of inspired me to do like a middle grade chapter book, and which that was my first book, and then I pretty much realized that I had a lot to learn about writing. You can't do it in a bubble, and so I joined some, and I was working at the time too, and so I joined some professional writing organizations that I was able to connect with, like professional workshops and conferences, and connect with writing groups and feedback to critique groups. And so I really spent a lot of time trying to hone my craft. And they say, write what you know, and that's what I did with the Bloody Shoe Affair. And I had kind of worked on it off and on for years, and then once I retired, a good friend of mine who's been an editor for like about 30 years in like the magazine business and different things, said, just go ahead and do it. And so I did. And so that's kind of where it started. But I've, you know, always been, it just kind of evolved. And once I started writing down, it just became a passion. And it was just like these things just came out on the page. And I could sit down and start in the morning, and I would look up and it would be 3 PM and I was still sitting in my pajamas and hadn't eaten anything all day. So I thought, there's a point where I want to do this all the time.
Well, great. Congratulations, because that's we're glad to see you doing that. And, you know, we've known you for many years, and we've been keeping an eye on you out there. So, yeah, congratulations on that. So we're going to roll another commercial now, and then, Beam, I understand
okay.
We have a caller.
We do, and this is going to be a caller from, I think it's Eastern Ohio, according to... hello, caller, what's your name? Where are you calling from? Turn your radio down.
Hi there.
Hello.
Okay, we're turning it down right now.
All right.
I know, because there's a lag time. My name is Kate.
Hi, Kate.
Can you hear me okay?
Yes,
and I just want to say I love Joy's book, Genuine Deceit. She did. She's a masterful storyteller, and she does action so amazingly well. The question that I have, though, that's my comment, but the question I have is, all those years in retail, how has that helped your storytelling, Joy?
Well, hi, Kate, and thank you for calling in. Actually, I think that, a couple of different things. Being in so many different locations, because I've like lived and worked in like 7 different states, and every time I was working in a store responsible for like anywhere from 150 to 200 people, and so I had such a broad experience with people.
You have to turn your listening device down.
Yeah, it got turned up again.
Okay, are we okay?
Yeah,
we're okay.
Okay. So I think that, you know, when you're working with so many different people, and you know, you plus I had, you know, I think I had a sociology degree, which, you know, really gave you a really good understanding of people. And I feel like that I learned something from every single person that I worked with. And I think that it helped me be able to adapt and, you know, bring different locations in and bring different type of personalities in and understand, you know, the frame of references, you know, based on who the characters were and some of the emotional kind of things.
Wow.
Great. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you for calling.
Yeah. Thanks for calling in, Kate.
Yes.
Okay.
And anybody else who wants to call in, well, we're live with author Joy York. Just call 516-453-9902.
Yeah. All right. So we are going to run an ad for Mark Herndon's The High Road.
What drives a man to spend 26 years performing night after night? To persevere through a stifling tour bus, bad food, strange women, flared tempers, a plane nearly blown from the sky? Just how did that troubled military brat with a dream claw his way from dirt floor dive bar shows to the world's biggest stages? Aviator, author, and Country Music Hall of Fame drummer Mark Herndon lived that dream playing with Alabama, one of the most popular and celebrated bands of all time. He learned some hard lessons about people and life, the music industry, the accolades and awards, how easy it is to lose it all, and how hard it is to survive, to embrace sobriety, to live even one more day. Herndon's poignant memoir offers a tale at once cautionary and inspirational, delightful and heartbreaking, funny yet deeply personal. From innocence to rebellion to acceptance, can a man still flourish when the spotlight dims? Are true forgiveness, redemption, and serenity even possible when the powerful say everything you achieved somehow doesn't even count? That you're not who you and everyone who matters thought you were? Find all this and more in Mark's remarkable memoir, The High Road, Memories from a Long Trip. Proudly published by Fresh Ink Group in paperback and ebooks, and now in the keepsake dust-jacketed hardcover edition demanded by true fans. Mark Herndon refuses to slow down. So look back, look ahead, and join him on the trip. He's taking the high road.
In 1945, 10-year-old Ronald Dennison, the son of a backwoods Arkansas preacher, began having profound dreams about religion and a strange red-haired woman. The dreams follow him for decades, with the woman sometimes seducing him, other times calling him to become a televangelist, but eventually berating him for his sins of lust. She holds a secret so dark that he dares never admit it, even to himself. The more famous and wealthier he becomes, the more he struggles with his adultery, his fetish, and his shame, until his torment can no longer be contained. Staggering revelations challenge everything he ever believed. Will truth bring him the peace he always craved? Or will the woman's demands prove more than he can bear? Read the novel, The Calling Dream by Carlisle Toms. Proudly published by Fresh Ink Group in hardcover, softcover, and all ebook formats. The Calling Dream by Carlisle Toms.
All right. Available now.
All right. So, again, our guest is Joy York. We're looking for some callers. If you want to call in and make a comment or ask a question of Joy. Now, over on Twitter, Verwayne Greenhouse says he just picked up his Genuine Deceit by Joy York. Says he's not very far into it, but it's looking to be a great read. So, yeah, if we can't sell Verwayne a book while our guest is on the air, there's something going on.
Well, thank you.
And I see Joe Congel's got a comment over here. It looks like it might possibly be a question. He says, "Hi,
yeah,
Joy.
Let's hold that one until we talk about that book."
Oh, okay. I see. All right.
Okay. So, Joy. people want to know about your writing process. I mean, you know, a pantser, outliner, do you set daily goals? Do you have a certain chair you sit in, a certain dirty sweatshirt that you wear? What's your writing process like?
Well, I'm definitely a pantser, it starts with just an idea, and then, you know, in the process, when I'm out or, you know, like, I mean, in the grocery store, I'm just talking to somebody, something that they do can trigger an idea, and I'll just write. And sometimes I'll, like, stop, like, I don't know, 30,000 words or something into it, and then if I feel like I might be getting lost I'll go back and I'll just read it objectively what I just did, and then if I'm okay or I feel like I'm in the right direction, then I can continue on. If I feel like, you know what, if that person was this instead of that, this would come together better, then I might do that. But other than that, I keep going, and I may go back and just kind of regroup to make sure I don't get lost. But I have just some thoughts in mind, but a lot of times my characters take me in a direction, sometimes are totally different than what I ever conceived of. And when I work from home, I get up and I have a routine every single morning. I usually work 6 days, and I, you know, do my marketing for very first thing in the morning. And I mean, it's like, I have to look at it in a lot of ways. It's like, that's my job. And I make myself do it. If I don't sit down and work for at least a while, but usually I spend most of the day writing or researching or doing something towards my writing.
So
are you
do
your own editor?
I'm sorry?
Are you your own editor? Are you also editing and reviving and doing all that too? Or
no.
Do you bring in other people?
I have other people edit. I'm a terrible speller, but, you know, I ask Siri, which I love having that. I have my phone sitting there, and I say, like, Siri, how do I spell that? And it's helping, and I just go on. Because sometimes it's so bad, I can't, word spell does not catch what it is. But anyway, I don't. I have my book professionally edited. Not from the standpoint of they change all of my sentences, copy edited mostly, because I go through my books so many times that, you know, making sure that I, you know, my sentence structure is right, and, you know, because I don't worry about those things the first way through. And so I think I get it in a pretty good place, and then I send it to an editor. My last editor that I had for Genuine Deceit, Catherine Jones, she was a professional, and she really she did probably more detailed editing than I had done in the first book, because she had so much experience. But as far as changing, like, this person shouldn't be doing this, or we should change anything in the actual book, it was more maybe sentence structure or something like that. But
yeah.
Okay. Now, you mentioned research. You say you're a pantser, but research, I kind of consider research to be a little bit of a outlining, because you're looking for certain things before you write it. So, you know, how much research do you do?
Not a lot. It's like if I, like in, And there are gems in Genuine Deceit. And I wanted to be sure that I was accurate about how I was, like, speaking about the qualities and the and different things like that. If I'm doing something, because the Bloody Shoe Affair is in the 60s, and I want to make sure that something that that I'm using a term, or if I'm using an event, that that I have it accurate within the time frame.
Okay. Yeah, I get it.
Things like that. Yeah. Not
okay.
Not.
Now, speaking
not
of the Bloody Shoe
or...
Affair, that's a good segue.
Yeah.
Tell us
what's
the Bloody Shoe Affair all about?
Okay. Well,
this is young adult, right?
Yes, it is. It's a young adult, and it is, as I said, it's set in the, actually it's 1968, and it's a mystery, and it was inspired by my cousin and I. My uncle was the county jailer in rural Coleman County, Alabama, and they lived in a big brownstone house that was connected by a long hall to the jail, and a big two-story jail. And she and I were the same age, and I would come and visit her, and I was extremely shy and scared of everything. And she was the daredevil prankster that was always pushing the edge. And, you know, she just always had to be kind of into something. And she would, she would sneak into the jail, and she would sneak candy and cigarettes and take them to the prisoners. And she would play checkers with them through the bars. And I was always, like, terrified when she would drag me over there. And she loved to play jailer, and so she would sneak some forms, and I was always the prisoner, and she was always the jailer. And so I'd have to get in the cell, because the downstairs were the single cells, which were rarely used unless they had somebody that needed to be, isolated, but because everybody else was upstairs. So we would have to actually go in, go upstairs, and stand in the little hall with all these people behind bars. And so there was a woman, the only woman trustee that was there, was down in the basement of the jail. And she was a wonderful woman that she had her own little apartment down there, and we would go down there. There was like this one, and see her in the evening, and there's like this one like light bulb, and it's like going down into the dungeon. And so we would go down there, and there was an evidence room down there that I didn't know about. And Julia would tell me one night, she loved to scare me. I mean, that was like, I mean, she thought it was funny, you know. I mean, it was good fun to her. It was terror to me. And she said, you know, in there's some bloody shoes, and this woman was killed, and sometimes at night you can hear the woman calling for those bloody shoes. So many years later, I thought, you know what? There is a lot of rich material right there.
Sounds
for
like
a
it.
Really cool book. And so that is where that inspiration, the story of the Bloody Shoe Affair. I moved to Mississippi, and you know, the actual jail and all of those things were from my memory of that jail. But the actual story is about two cousins that are pretty much the same, and they decide something really big happened, and they know that there's something that, like a murder or something, that's happened, and it's their It was Lily and Christy in this, and Lily's the prankster, and she decides we need to find out what happened. And they happen upon the prisoner that's being kept in the dungeon, and she decides that she doesn't think he's guilty, and the investigation begins. And so, but it was a lot of fun doing that, and it was very personal to me. And it's also it's a coming of age kind of thing too.
Yeah, so young adult then, that would be like 9, 10, 11 up through the teens and adults?
Well, I think young adult is more like maybe 12 or 13 and up. I thought middle grade, I may be wrong, I thought middle grade was like around like 8 or 9 or 10,
yeah,
something like that. But
now, timely question here. This was the question I was going to read earlier. And, this is the right time to put this in here. Joe Congel, he says, "Hi, Joy. I loved the Bloody Shoe Affair. Great characters. Have you thought about writing a series with the two girls? They must have had other adventures that would make for several great stories."
Thank you very much, Joe. And thank you for reading it. Yes, actually, I'm editing that right now. It's The Jailer's Daughter. And I'm like at the point where I should be finished within a couple of weeks and trying to decide exactly how I'm going to move forward with it. But actually, they've aged about a year and a half, and so they're a little bit more mature. And Lily's dad is shot in a moonshine bust that's gone bad, and they have no idea who it was. An ambush, and they have no idea who the perpetrators are. And it's actually in the middle of the school year, and Lily comes, or Christy comes up, and because her dad is critical, and gets out of school to be there with her, and Lily is determined to get to the bottom of who shot her dad, and another man was killed. So this one's a little more intense, but it's very action packed, and like there's a lot. It's there's a lot of twists and things through it, but yes, and hopefully it'll be out soon. It'll have a little bit older flavor to it.
If you subscribe to our newsletter, you'll see us announce when Joy's new book comes out.
Yeah.
So thanks for the question, Joe. We've got another comment.
Thank you, Joe.
From Ferwayne Greenhoe. He says, "I'm a pantser too. I just thought of a new storyline for my running romance on Vela. In the outline of the story, I put down 33 words. My head will take it from there." Yeah. Now, he had just posted before that. He was the one who said he just picked up his copy of Genuine Deceit. So tell us about Genuine Deceit. That's your novel for adults. And what can Verwaine expect as he digs into this one?
Look at all these segues.
Okay. Genuine Deceit is... It's set in Northeast Ohio, and Reagan's grandmother is Reagan is like in a corporate job in Chicago, and she grew up in Northeast Ohio, and she gets a call that her grandmother has been murdered, and so she rushes home, and her grandmother, who raised her most of her life, and they live in a very modest neighborhood, and she's only been there, I mean, she's just barely been there, and she's supposed to be meeting the detective, and just within like 45 minutes or so that she's been there waiting for him, there's another break-in attempt in the home. And so her very best friend, who was not able to stay with her, sends her her brother-in-law, who is just gotten out of the military, he's an ex-Navy SEAL, over to kind of support her through this so she won't be alone. And when the detective gets there, you know, they decide that, okay, this wasn't a random burglary. If they came back, there's something going on. Aiden, who is the ex-Navy SEAL that comes over, he had seen something that that her grandmother had had, because her grandmother stayed with babysat Maddie's daughter sometimes, and he saw something that he thought might be more valuable than what that she had, her grandmother had realized. And of course, Reagan thinks this is ridiculous because they barely ran the air conditioner because they were always on a budget. And she goes and she gets this big box of in her bedroom that has Prince's box on it, and she shows her all of this jewelry, and it's just all this. She said all these are all plastic things, and that's what that was. It was just one of the rings from this. And he has seen something he's seen period jewelry before in looting in the Middle East. And he's like, I'm afraid you might have something different here. This may not be what you think it is. So in an effort to put it up and hide it somewhere, they come across something that has been in a decades old silk container that's even more shocking. And, of course, Reagan is like, oh, my gosh, you know, she's been living with her grandmother for years, and he's like, we need to call the police and tell them. And she's like, oh, my God, we got to find out. My family's not criminals, you know, and so we have to find this out. So there begins the adventure of what in the world these things are doing in her home, and is this jewelry that she's been playing with since she's a child really not fake jewelry? So there's a lot of twists and turns, and the more things go, the more she doesn't even begin to realize or understand what her life has been. So they go a lot of places across the country. So it's pretty action packed.
All right. Now you've got one that's not out yet. It's with the publisher now, Protective Instinct.
Right.
First of all, when is that coming out? And second, what's it about?
Well, it's in the editing queue right now, so we don't have an exact date for that yet. It's another suspense thriller, and in this one, there's Sebastian Bartoli is like a very kind of self-absorbed writer who gained fame like right out of college, and now like 12 years later he has like all these bestsellers to his name, and he's kind of his own brand, and he's very insulated. And Maximilian Fontana is an infamous infamously known as being connected to the mob, and he's decided he wants Sebastian to write his memoirs. Well, nobody in Sebastian's camp thinks that's a good idea. So despite the insistence, his friends who actually became part of his brand when he really became big, they decide you need to disappear. Like, we'll say you're on a sabbatical. None of us will. They made a deliberate plan for him to hide. And they don't even know where it is because they have other people involved so that nobody can be forced to say where he is because they are really afraid for his safety. And he ends up in Gunnersville. Like,
where I am.
Yeah.
And, and then we have Morgan Schuyler, who is a good-natured, unfiltered Southern kindergarten teacher who was pretty much raised off the grid in North Georgia. And she is meeting her friend that happens to have the homes that are on the lake that where Sebastian is staying. And she doesn't find out until she gets there that she's her friend just eloped and that she can stay in the kind of carriage house next door because she didn't know her dad had rented the house out. So these two meet when some mechanical things are not working. She goes over to meet him. And, of course, Sebastian is irritated that this is supposed to be my secret hideout here, and there's this woman here. And all of a sudden, he tries to help her, but these, like, suited mafia types show up. And Morgan ends up using her survival skills to get them out of there. And steals, you know, like sneaks a boat under their nose, and he's totally helpless on doing anything. And then, so they leave with bullets flying, and there begins their adventure. And they're headed up to the Smoky Mountains, where her grandfather, who just died, that's the survivalist, left for her. And so their adventure begins there. He has no idea why these, you know, he's got to get it. He doesn't know why these people are so insistent on this. And then when she gets there, there's a note where she finds out that a lot of things that she didn't know about her grandfather. So it becomes a kind of the two of them trying to figure out how they're going to survive things they never understood.
Wow, and that's called Protective Instincts, and that's currently with your publisher. I think the world needs more books with Gunnersville in them. There's no question about that. But you say it's with your publisher now. Who's your publisher?
Oh, it's World Castle Publishing.
Have they done all of your books?
No. I've done Book Baby, I did through, I'm sorry, The Bloody Shoe Affair, I did through Book Baby. And Genuine Deceit, I had that, like, formatted and everything through, actually, the graphic designer that did the cover. And that is Burge Design, and they're out of Charleston, South Carolina.
Cool. You've got nice covers.
Oh, so, well, thank you. And Book Baby was done. They did, actually, Book Baby did the cover, but I didn't see anything I quite wanted, and so I found the bloody shoes that were in my mind, or I found the shoes and bloodied them with, you know, with nail polish and sent them a picture of the shoes, and they developed the cover around it.
Oh, cool.
Fantastic. So what sort of fan reaction and feedback have you gotten from readers for your work?
From what?
So what sort of fan reaction and feedback from readers have you gotten for your work?
Okay.
Have you met any of them, or gotten any letters, anything?
Oh, yeah. Well, yes, I've met several. A lot of people that really when we first retired, we were in Alabama for a little while, and so a lot. I met a lot of fans that really liked The Bloody Shoe Affair, and actually they did a big article on it in Coleman, and I met a lot of the people there, and they really enjoyed that. And Genuine Deceit, one of the fans that just said, you're doing a sequel to that, aren't you? And she was just, I just absolutely love, actually this one that was on, actually the one that told me that, she sent me something on social media, and she said, you're doing a sequel because I love Reagan and Aiden so much, and you're doing a sequel. And I never occurred to me to do a sequel of that. And she was just so excited. And then some other people started telling me that and sending me notes about that, like, are you doing a sequel? And so I'm considering that, but that was just such a surprise, you know, because there's a lot of emotional things that also go through that book, and I kind of felt like it would have ended it at a good place, and I'm like, well, I don't know if that's possible. I have to redo my thinking here. So that was a big surprise. But
that's way fun.
But I mean, I feel like that I've gotten the reviews have been good. I've been very pleased.
Oh, cool. So, author Joy York, do you have any advice for other authors out there?
Yes, I guess. I would say that the hardest thing is to sit down and just start writing, because you just start immediately, when you've never done it, you feel like, okay, I know I'm not doing this right. And you can get bogged down in whether your sentence structure is right or if you're doing something wrong. And I think you have to get over that and just not stop and second guess every single thing that you do. You just have to write, and you write and you write and you write. And then all of those things can be corrected. You can learn more. And the other thing is, I would say it's important to connect with either someone that has some experience, or a writing organization. A national writing organization has so many, can offer so many tools for you, and workshops and conferences and things, because I just don't think you can write in a bubble without some, unless that's what we're trained to do. But you have to write, and you have to get your story down and stop second guessing yourself, and then figure out, okay, how do I make this work so that, and just keep doing it. And if that's not a good one, then you just do another one. And that was my problem when I started, because I kept saying, getting hooked on, is trying to go back and change everything right there. And I just think you just have to get it down.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to edit good intentions. They kind of look like blank paper when you go to work on them.
Yeah. Right. You're absolutely right.
So, Joy, how can people find you and follow and contact you on social media? Do you have a blog, website, Facebook?
Well, I have a blog, but I have not made it active yet. There are so many blogs that I'm just trying to figure out how to make mine, different and make it really entertaining. But I am on LinkedIn under Joy York. I have a Joy York author Facebook, joyyork.com is my website, and I'm on Instagram as Joy York Books. I'm on X or Twitter as at Joy York Author. And I'm also on All Author. It's just
Joy
York.
Oh, cool. So, and like all of our guests on Voice of Indy, if you're trying to get a hold of one of these people or send them a note or ask a question or whatever and don't have a better way, we've got a contact form at freshinkgroup.com. Send us a note and we'll make sure we pass it along to Joy. Today, our guest has been Joy York, and it has been a thrill. We've known Joy for many, many years, but have never had her on the show, and we thought it was well past time to do that. So we're glad you could make it tonight, Joy.
Well, thank you. Thank you for having me, and I appreciate it. And thanks for people that, you know, ask questions. And I really appreciate you guys taking the time to have me on.
All right. Cool.
Yeah. Now, so, I just wanted to throw out something here. There's a couple of tweets from Dr. Helen, who is on hold. She says, second week in a row, you've forgotten about me. Boo-hoo. No, Dr. Helen, we didn't forget about you. We see you on there. It's just this week we kind of ran the intro for the show kind of ran a little long. That's why we didn't get to you. So anyway.
So in the coming weeks, we're going to have guest Kim Bacellia. She's an author that we don't know very well yet, but we're going to get to know her soon. And who else, Beam?
After that, we have David Carroll coming back to visit us, and he's always a good time. After that,
yeah, V.S. Kamanis. She's a very prolific author with a website that's full of books, and we're looking forward to learning about those. And who else?
And after that, we've got Barney Smith. Don't know a whole lot about him, but we're going to learn about him as you do, which is cool. We've got a lot of these authors that we're not real familiar with, so we're all learning. And we're giving them a platform to introduce their works and whatnot. So Barney Smith after that. And then after Barney is?
Well, we've got several guests in there, and Michael Scott Clifton and C.J. Peterson. And we're also looking for some musical guests. We don't have the exact date for Wide Track yet, do we, Beam?
No. After Barney is C.J. and then Michael Scott Clifton. Then we're going to have a couple of weeks where we're in reruns. Because we'll be both busy traveling and whatnot. And sometime in October, I invited them the 11th, the guys from Y-Track. I had a chance to listen to their new album. And, man, they are making some really good music. So we're hoping to get those guys in here October 11th.
All right. We got other guests lined up, too, including sci-fi master John Roseman. So we're looking forward to having him. But again,
yeah.
Thanks to everybody who called in tonight and participated on Twitter. And thank you, Joy York, for stopping by the studio and sharing some reminiscences from all the way back to your Gunnersville days.
Yeah, thank you, Joy.
Thank you.
All right. And we kind of held off on a lot of the commercials tonight, so we're going to play some of those on the way out. And everybody, thanks for stopping in. We'll see you next week.
See you next week, everybody.
All right. Say bye, Joy.
Good night. Thank
Good
you.
Good night.
When Aaliyah and Kehlani go from having fun to tussling, Big Mama puts it to rest, as fighting and bullying are plain wrong. Later, Big Daddy tells the girls about the photo of a man on the mantle. His name is Daddy Yo-Yo, he says, telling the girls about his late grandfather, who watched out for all the children in his neighborhood. Daddy Yo-Yo and the Legendary Marble Tournament is about a group of boys having fun, until Evil Eye Bucket Smith tries bullying his smaller rival, Young Chucky Fry. Daddy Yo-Yo won't stand for it. He knows that looking out for kids also means teaching about pride, self-worth, and caring for others. From Fresh Ink Group and author educator Janice D. Toney, the illustrated full-colored chapter book, Daddy Yo-Yo and the Legendary Marble Tournament is out now. Grab and share your copy in hardcover, softcover, or all ebook formats. Find out who the real winners are as we all learn the wisdom of Daddy Yo-Yo.
As we remember, documents the remarkable story of a Women's Relief Corps chapter in Beaufort, South Carolina. The WRC is a national organization established as an official auxiliary to the Grand Army of the Republic in 1883. A Women's Relief Corps post has existed in the city of Beaufort in various forms since 1892. While much of the record of the early Beaufort Corps was passed through the esteemed oral history tradition, in 2019, members commissioned a study to ensure their story would be documented in print form and told for many generations to come. That story centers African American women as lead agents of change and co-creators of the patriotic spirit, an important theme given that historically, the National WRC was primarily white-led. And in southern localities like Beaufort, completely segregated. Beyond documenting the members' experiences, this story is compelling in the larger context of our nation contending with changing notions of its national identity and definitions of patriotism. Written and compiled by Najma Thomas, PhD, and proudly published by Fresh Ink Group, this fascinating history is available in all ebook formats. Or grab your keepsake edition in full color softcover or laminate hardcover. Or listen to the audiobook narrated by the author. As We Remember, a history of the Women's Relief Corps in Beaufort, South Carolina.
Submariner, 30 years of hijinks and keeping the fleet afloat. Jerry Pate's semi-autobiographical collection of 60 stories recounts his 30 years in and around the U.S. Navy submarine fleet, ranging from lighthearted to wrenching. All are poignant inside looks at naval operations rarely seen by outsiders. Topics include the real story behind the Shuttle Challenger tragedy, risking his own life underwater, discovering a Soviet spy living across the street, surviving when an engine ignites, critical missions, and the everyday lives of men and women of the fleet. Compiled by author Robert G. Williscroft and proudly published by Fresh Ink Group. Submariner is available worldwide in hardcover, softcover, and all ebook formats. Dive into Submariner for hijinks and breathtaking adventure with this poignant memoir by a true American hero.
Of Voice of Indy, a production of Fresh Ink Group. Spread the word, support our guests, then find us at freshinkgroup.com and be sure to hashtag Fresh Ink Group.